Blog Talk Radio.
I'll do whatever I can, wherever I am, whenever you want me to. Yeah, you have a friend in me till the end. Whatever I can, I'll do for you.
Welcome, everyone, to another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of TheIAMUniversity.com, calling in live from Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern, and my co-host, Jennifer Carter from EmpoweringWomenInBusiness.com, is also with me today. So, Jennifer, are you there?
I sure am, Gina. Can you hear me?
I can. So how are you today?
I am doing wonderful. I am calling from mostly sunny Southern California, just north of San Diego. We have a few clouds in the sky, but it's a beautiful day out here as well.
Oh, it's gorgeous out here. I don't think we have a single cloud in the sky today. I was out at the beach until 2:30, 3 o'clock this morning. It was just gorgeous last night.
Oh, see, now, maybe I need to head myself over to the East Coast if it was that warm that late, because it certainly wasn't here.
I was out in shorts and a tank top last night at 3 o'clock this morning, so it was warm. It's probably 78, 77, something like that.
Wow, nice. Well, you know, Dina, I wouldn't even know about that if it weren't for the power and magic of being able to teleconference and set up radio shows and things like that, because you're on the other side of this great country. I'm on one side, you're on the other. And yet, you and I and all of our listeners and everybody out there, we can do business instantly for next to nothing using the power of teleconferences, webinars, and just and that's the topic of our show today. We're going to talk about how to use teleconferences, webinars, and other online venues as relationship builders to build our businesses.
And, you know, it's funny because every time I get onto a teleconference, somebody on there is saying, you know, it's so neat that the Internet lets you do these teleconference things. And they assume that if you're online, you're doing teleconferences, that means you are like a solopreneur or an infopreneur or something along those lines. But I watched an interesting TV show a few months ago. It was like 4 o'clock in the morning, and I couldn't sleep, and I was just looking for something I could watch to try and fall asleep with. And there was a show on that was really talking about our economy and the changes that our economy has brought about. And it was talking more than anything about businesses, big businesses, Fortune 100 companies, Fortune 500 companies, that sort of thing. Well, one of the comments that they made was that from first quarter of last year to fourth quarter of last year, corporate travel was down more than 80%.
Yep.
My mom's a travel agent, so I can attest to this firsthand. My mom's income plummeted by 93% last year simply because she does corporate travel, not personal travel. Personal travel numbers were down, but not nearly down by as much as corporate travel. And so you'd say, well, okay, well, if corporate travel's down, does that mean corporate sales are down as well? Oddly enough, it did not. And here's what was happening. All of these big corporations were sidelining their traveling salespeople and their traveling executives in favor of teleconferences.
That's right.
They were still doing the same amount of communication, but they were doing it by using teleconferences, by using webinars, by using the power of the Internet, and saving loads of money. And actually, the two businesses that they interviewed on there, and one of them was Motorola, because of the amount of teleconferences and webinars that they were doing, the division that was really using them the most had actually grown by more than 30% last year, even though their travel was down by more than 90% that year.
Wow.
Until now, That was never possible. If travel was down even a little bit, so were sales, because the way that business was done was face-to-face. But with the internet, that's all changed. We don't need to be face-to-face to do business anymore. That's why I can live my life as a full-time RVer, right? It's because of things like teleconferences and webinars.
Exactly.
So I even got started in December by doing these weekend workshops. It was around the same time that I wanted to be planning a live event. I had done one a year and a half before, not even a year and a half, probably a year before, and planned on doing another one then. But with the economy as bad as it is here in the U.S., I just couldn't see making people have to spend an extra $2,000 to $3,000 just for the travel expenses and then make them pay for a ticket on top of that. And I sat down and said, okay, how can I do this differently? And that's when I came up with this idea of doing these weekend workshops where we get together for 2 to 3 days at a time. The quality of the content is even better than the quality of the content in a live seminar because we've got webinars that we can use and we can be completely interactive. We're in a seminar-type room. You usually don't even get a chance to ask questions except maybe the last hour of a 3-day event. This way it's completely interactive. You can be asking questions nonstop all 3 days. I can really show you what to do, and you don't have to pay for all of that expense for travel.
And what was your rental? What did it cost?
Say that again.
What did it cost you to rent the room for these weekend workshops?
Oh, $97 a month.
Oh, okay, because you weren't renting a room, and this is what's interesting about this using teleconferences and conferences. Is that, as you said, now we're going to show people how to get started absolutely for free, putting on teleconferences, using webinars, no matter where their business is. And it's such a powerful tool. You can make a lot of money with it. You can really, really serve your customers. But as you said, Dina, it's not just solopreneurs who are doing this. Later in the show, we're going to give some examples of people putting on huge events, yourself included. I know that you got a lot more people at your weekend webinar workshops than you probably would have otherwise live. And as you also stated, there are, you know, Fortune 500 companies, Motorola, PepsiCo, I believe, has been using those, SmileCare. I can go down a list of the number of companies who are using it for training purposes. Salesforces are doing this. And you know, the sky's the limit. Oprah's using webinars. So, you know, as much as you can imagine, you can do using the internet for next to nothing, if not completely free, and it will expand your business if you aren't already using teleconferences and or webinars, you need to.
Well, and here's the big effect of a teleconference or a webinar from where I'm sitting. So part of it is the fact that you are able to interact with people and grow relationships. That's a big part of it. Part of it is that you can use these teleconferences as products. You can actually sell seats in a teleconference so you can make money from it. You can repurpose the recordings and turn that into yet another product so that you can make money from it. But here's the real effect of a teleconference. If you're doing the teleconference the right way, which is what we're going to be talking about later in the show, you're doing it in a way that really connects you with your audience in a way that you just can't do in a blog, you just can't do in a Facebook or a Twitter. You can't talk to somebody. And if you're really doing teleconferences that allow you to connect with people in that way, not only do you make money from the teleconference itself, but as in my case, I started my whole business or this phase of my business using 72 teleconferences in 30 days. It was because of those teleconferences that my whole list became as responsive as it is, because of the relationships that I built from those teleconferences. So the income that came in from the teleconferences themselves was minimal compared to the income that it has brought me for the last 18, 19 months because of the relationships that started as a seed with that teleconference. That's huge.
Yeah, you bring up a really good point, which is not only can you make one-time money by putting on the webinars and teleconferences, repurposing them, as you said, but even more importantly, which is what I think we're focusing on our relationship marketing show today, is building that relationship with your clients and customers. And I love, you have one of the best examples I've seen, Dina, of somebody taking a list which for all purposes, when you started it, the list didn't know you, one of your earlier lists, because you got this by putting together, you did a giveaway and you did some dating things, right? List didn't really know you, but at the end of that, and there were some partners who were part of this, and their list grew from this as well, but at the end of that, they knew you better than anybody else, and I don't know these other people personally, but my guess is the people on this list are more responsive to you than anybody else because you went forward and you put on these teleconferences.
In fact, they are so much more responsive to me. The partner who had the identical list recently gave it away because he said it was worthless.
Wow.
And we're not talking a few people. We're talking 52,000 people. He said it was worthless. And yet that is probably 85 to 90% of my opt-in list that I use to this day. So either I'm really delusional and I'm not making the kind of money that I'm making, or something else is different. Because I really don't see it as being worthless. I see the list that we built from that one giveaway as being a seven-figure possibility per year. But as I said, it's from doing teleconferences the right way. Just doing any old teleconference and the way that teleconferences are normally done by infopreneurs is probably not going to do that from a single list.
So, and by that you mean saying, hey, list, I have a teleconference coming up, you know, this Friday from 6 to 7 p.m., come listen. And they listen to an hour pitch, which I'm not putting it down because I've been a part of that before. I've, you know, certainly listened and I've helped put those on, and they're effective. I've been a part of helping to offer services, live events, coaching services, and other things through one-hour teleconferences where you provide some real value, and then you upsell to whatever it is. Those are valuable, and you can do that as well, and we'll show you a little bit about that.
And it's a one-hour call to the minute, usually.
Yes.
It does not ever have the lines unmuted because, God forbid, somebody's going to make a bad comment. You can't unmute the line, so nobody can interact. You're just talking at someone. And probably 40 minutes out of the 60 minutes is the pitch.
Right, right.
That is not going to create an audience that's going to become forever loyal and buy from you over and over again. It might make you money one time. It might make you money two times if you're smart and you repurpose that content into a second product. But it's certainly not going to turn them into what I call product evangelists or brand evangelists who are so fiercely loyal that they tell everybody they know.
Right, right. And that's really what we want because we're talking about long-term strategies to build our businesses here. We're not one-shot upsells. We're talking about long-term strategies, which the relationship is key here. So, Dina, somebody, they've got their products and services and their business online, and maybe they've been blogging and they've been Twittering and they've been, you know, using the social media and some of the other things, and they're thinking, yep, I'm ready. I got to start integrating this teleconference and or webinar thing, component, into my business. How do I get started? What should somebody...
So let's back up one step from there.
Okay.
So you said somebody's already got their business up and running and they got their products and they got their blog. You don't have to wait till you get to that point to even be able to use teleconferences effectively. What you need is a mechanism for getting people onto a teleconference in the first place. So that means if you've got a blog up and you don't have products to sell yet, you still can use teleconferences. If you have a Facebook account and you don't even have a website of your own yet, you can still use teleconferences. You're tweeting, but you still really haven't done much to figure out what you're going to sell, you can still use teleconferences. So teleconferences can be effective the day you get started in building a business, or later on after you've already got a list and you've got some traffic. They are something that every single entrepreneur on and offline should be using. So how do you get started? Well, like anything else, you've got to have a plan for how you're going to effectively use teleconferences. And you want to keep it simple. You don't want to make it overly complicated. Remember, one of the first plans of yours that I saw involved a lot of different teleconferences in a lot of different ways. And let's talk about that initial plan. Do you remember that?
I believe I do. You're talking about earlier work up to the live events?
Yeah. So you had teleconferences on the front end that you were going to sell right out of the gate so that you could both make money with it and get people qualified as buyers. And then you were going to use those recordings to be able to sell them another product, which was then going to do something else to get them into the live event, right? Or something like that.
Something like that. It's part of a sales process, right? That's one way of doing it.
And so if you're just getting started with teleconferences, one of the first things you've got to decide is, are you going to do free teleconferences? Are you going to do paid teleconferences? Or are you going to do some combination thereof? In your case, one of my first suggestions was, hey, I don't know that you really want to be doing paid teleconferences on that low-end thing. And the reason I said that is really because of relationship marketing. If you're really using teleconferences in the best possible way, you really want to incorporate both some free teleconferences and some paid teleconferences. I like to use free teleconferences to drive the traffic for paid teleconferences. But the paid teleconferences I don't call teleconferences. I might call them a workshop. I might call them a coaching program. I don't call them paid teleconferences. To me, that perception of a paid teleconference is one that doesn't necessarily create a lot of value for people. So the teleconferences themselves, I like to try and keep free. And that really wows your audience in a big way. If you are going to charge for them, consider charging something really cheap, like a dollar, maybe as much as $5 to $10. The point being that the teleconference itself should not be the thing in this case that's making you the money. It should be the thing that is doing what Eben Pagan calls moving the free line. It's the thing that wows your audience so much that they go, holy cow, if I just got all of that for free, what am I going to get when I spend some money?
Right.
So that by the end of the teleconference, you can sell them something else.
Yeah, and I think if your audience doesn't know you, you can't do a paid teleconference. I mean, you can, but you really should not do a paid teleconference unless your audience knows you. And absolutely, even with that initial plan, it started with free teleconferences and then moved into the paid teleconference series because they've got to get to know you and they've got to see the value from it first. Absolutely.
So I have a new coaching student, a new one-on-one coaching student, who wanted to be able to generate the cash to pay for the coaching program. She doesn't yet have a list. She doesn't have any traffic. She didn't even have a website when she came up with this idea. So she decided that she's going to do a teleconference, and she's going to use the paid teleconference to be able to drive the revenue she needs to buy into my one-on-one coaching. So she's put together a one-hour call that she's charging $27 for. She's gone out to 6 or 7 affiliates who already have lists, who know her well, who know her stuff, and she's asked them to promote it for her in exchange for her paying them a commission on their sales. And sales are really trickling in very slowly. If she would have had a free teleconference where she didn't charge anything, just made people opt in, she has about 6,000 visitors that have hit the site. She probably would have had somewhere between 40 and 50% of those people, so between 2,400 and 3,000 people opting into a list that she could then promote to forever. And those 2,400 to 3,000 that actually signed up for the teleconference, they're not all going to show up. I have seen anywhere from 10% of the opt-ins showing up to around 40 to 50% of the opt-ins showing up, depending upon what you do in follow-up and in keeping the excitement level there to get them onto the call. Even if you're doing a paid teleconference, it doesn't guarantee you that people will be listening the day of the call, especially if you're giving them a recording. But let's look at the numbers and what the outcome will mean for her. So of the 6,000 people that have shown up on her page, she's had 8 sales so far at $27. Not a whole heck of a lot. If all 8 show up on a teleconference, I will really be amazed. And at the end of the teleconference, she plans on selling them something else that is $1,000. So let's assume for a moment that all 8 do show up. Well, she's certainly not going to sell all 8 at $1,000. Typically, expect to sell it at 20%. In this case, it would be 1.6 people. So we'll round up and say she makes 2 sales. That would be $2,000. Now, if she had done it the other way, and had a free teleconference that still sold the $1,000 item at the back end. Instead of the 8 people that are going to be on the teleconference, she's probably going to get more like somewhere between 250 people and about, let me do my math, 1,000 to 1,200 people on the list. So even if we do the low side numbers, so we say that 250 people, if she sells the same 20%, she would have 50 sales. So let's say because these people are not yet buyers, that sales go down a little bit and she only sells 10%. She would still make 25 sales instead of 2.
Right.
And $25,000 instead of 2. Big, gigantic difference. So the first thing you want to do is figure your numbers out to figure out what kind of a teleconference you want to have. Do you really want this to be a paid teleconference? Do you want this to be free and sell something else at the end? Even if you don't have products of your own to sell, you can bring on a guest who does have a product and sell their product as an affiliate. That's a great way to get started with teleconferences. And then you need to figure out before you get started, because it changes what you do in your teleconference, what are you going to do after the teleconference? Why are you holding the teleconference? Is it to make money just from the teleconference? Or do you really want to make money from it long term? And if you want to make money from it long term, how will you make that money? So are you going to take the recording and turn it into a paid product? And if you're going to do that, then is it just going to be one product or is it going to be 2? So what I mean by that is you can sell just the audio recording as a product, or you could sell a transcript as an ebook and then have an upsell to the audio version, and maybe you put in a checklist or a flowchart or a mind map or something to add value to it. And now instead of having one product from that teleconference, you've got 2. But you need to know which way you're going to do it, if you're going to do that at all, so that you can plan out the teleconference better, so that you can have the content of it lined up. Because if you are going to sell a product from it, and you're going to use the recordings and the transcripts to do that, then you're going to want to make sure that you've got your promo within the teleconference set up in a way that even when people are buying that product, it will again make you sales over and over again. If your plan is that you're not going to go ahead and use this as a paid product that you sell, well, then you can send people in the teleconference to a page that's just a temporary page, you can give them instructions with an email address. It won't make that big of a difference to you long term. On the other hand, if you really are going to sell this as a product forever, you want to make sure that it's evergreen, so that you want to be sending them to a page that's more permanent. You don't want to be giving out email addresses through instructions and things like that. It's an important part of the plan. So those are some of the things that you've got to look at even before you can actually sit down and say, okay, I'm going to do a telecontract. Questions about that, Jennifer?
Yeah, well, so I hear a flow chart. I hear you describing a flow chart here, or I'm saying, you know what, I think people need to flow chart this out. You are a master at flow charting, and one of the things that you teach often is, hey, anytime you're thinking about creating a product, selling a product, creating a teleconference or whatever as part of your business, you need to flow chart it and take a look at that, what your overall plan is. So whether you have a piece of paper that you just, sit down and say, okay, teleconference, or use software. There's some free software and paid software you could use for this. But it's a really important point to think that out. Okay, teleconference, what's my purpose for it? I want to build relationships. I want to provide service. I want to be able to upsell either down the road or immediately. Am I going to offer recordings? If so, is that going to be for free or paid? Am I sharing the list? Do I have affiliate partners who are promoting this for me? And if they are, how are they going? What are they going to get out of it? Are they going to, if it's a free conference, then do they get a part of the upsell? Whatever it is, you need to write this out and flowchart it. Create your plan so you can take a look at it and say, ah, this is the overall plan, and maybe I need to move this over here or over there. I love mind maps or flowcharts to see the bigger picture. It's a graphic way of doing that. Let me just put this out there real quick. What are some software you recommend people do use in order to create a flowchart or a mind map so that they can see, really graphically see what it is that you're describing?
So I don't normally like mind maps. To me, there's not enough structure to them just by definition. I can't see the flow of how things will go from this point to that point to that point. So I much prefer to see flowcharts, because as I'm planning something out, if I cannot connect each box to at least one other, it tells me something. It tells me, hey, that box probably shouldn't be there. So the software I use for flowcharting is completely free. It's open source. It is incredibly easy to use, and it's incredibly flexible. You can draw basic flowcharts, or you can make your flowcharts look like a piece of art. You'll find it at askggg.com/DIA, D like David, I, A like Apple. DIA is the name of the software, so just askggg.com/DIA. And it's really easy to use, but you are right, Jennifer, you should definitely be mapping out this whole plan. And you're probably going to need more than one flowchart to go with that plan. If you decide you're going to build this into a product that you sell, you are definitely going to need more than one flowchart. You're going to need one for the teleconference part of it. You're going to need a second for the product part of it. So don't be afraid to create multiple flowcharts that have a box in common between them. If you printed them out on transparencies, would even allow you to overlay them on top of one another at that connecting box. Does that make sense?
It does. And just to clarify, so the difference between a mind map and a flowchart really is, and you can elaborate on this, but really is you're able to connect more boxes and say, okay, here's where my product comes in, here's where my teleconference comes in, here's where my my affiliates come in, and there's going to be several interlocking links, and there's going to be arrows and things like that that are going to show you the flow of how it all connects instead of just branches off.
Precisely. And in a mind map, you don't have those arrows, but you've usually got as a center point or two, and then you've got branches off of that with ideas or different components. But there's no connection between those components other than they're different parts of that center piece. So the mind map just won't show you enough detail of how your teleconference should be structured, where it goes from here to where. It won't show you the flow of the website. It won't show you any flow. It will just show you ideas.
Gotcha. Okay, so we can get that software at askggg.com/DIA. I use it myself. I was using Mind Maps before you introduced me to this, and now I use this. So I love it, so I recommend it. It is easy to use.
Has it helped you to be able to see the flow as opposed to just the concept?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I, you know, Gina, sitting in my office, I have a few of my flow charts printed out, some of which are ones you've created, some of which I've created, because, yes, you can look at any one point and see which part of the process you're in and see if there's any parts that you're missing that, you know, will keep the flow going. So let's get back to this idea of using these teleconferences and/webinars, and let's further show people how they can do this, because, Gina, you and I both know and have personally done teleconferences and or webinars, et cetera, that have resulted in, you know, not only a few thousand dollars, but when done correctly and you build these long-term relationships, tens of thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars can be generated by using these free or almost free services because you're creating this connection with your audience. So
absolutely.
What's the next step here? People have decided they're going to use a teleconference, they're going to use a webinar. First off, let's give out some resources as to how somebody can put on a teleconference.
So first, before you do that, in this planning process where you're trying to decide, are you going to create a product, are you going to sell your teleconference, all that stuff, one of the other things you want to address is teleconference or webinar. That changes a lot, right? So if you're going to create that product, are you going to create a product that has a written and audio component, or are you going to create a product that has a written component, an audio component, and a video component, or are you going to create a video-based product? If you want something visual to be a part of this, or if what you're sharing on the teleconference is by its nature something that requires visuals, then you're going to want to do a webinar instead of a teleconference. The difference between them is simply that in a webinar, you can show people stuff instead of just telling people stuff. There are different pieces of software for doing teleconferences versus webinars. Now, the audio portion of your call, you can do it the same way, whether it's a teleconference or a webinar. But if you want that video piece there so that you can show people things, then you're going to need a second component, which is the webinar software. So let's continue from there with some of the software that you can use or some of the services you can use to do teleconferences and webinars, Jennifer.
Okay. So let's say whatever it is you're doing, you just need audio. And there's and you want to start out with a free resource. And one of the best free resources that I know of right now that I use, a lot of my clients use, I'm not sure if you're using it or not, Gina, but that is freeconferencecalls.com. And you just, again, it's www.freeconferencecall.com. The reason I like that resource is, again, one, it's free. Two, you can have quite a number of callers on that service. I think it's at least 100, although they might have gone up. You can record it, and you just give people a number to call into, and it's something that it's great for starter teleconferences. It's also something that, since you can have a recording of it, you can use it to create products getting started, and it's simple. If you go there, set up your account, you'll have an account within 5 minutes. So as a getting started tool, that's fantastic. Now,
and I used to use freeteleconferences.com or freeconferencecalls.com, but I stopped using it because my audience is so global, and what I really needed was something that would allow them to come into the calls either on a phone line or through their computers, and they couldn't come in through their computers. So I started using another service instead because they could come in through Skype without having any minutes taken out. Unfortunately, they no longer sell this service, and unless you had an account prior to, I think, October of 2007, you can't even go register for one. but that is one of the best ones out there. Really easy to use, great quality on your recordings, but know that if you have a global audience, you might need to find something else for people to use so that they can call in from overseas without having international calling rights.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting. So we'll find some other resources for that. But free conference calls, just to put this in perspective, even just maybe 2 years ago, you didn't have the free conference calling services, and people were using, like, eagleconferencing.com is another service still out there. I'm pretty sure
it's hugely expensive.
Yeah, at least $100 a month, isn't it? Thereabouts? That's what it used to be. I don't know what it
is. No, Eagle is now a per-call fee.
Okay.
So if you're doing even a single call per week, expect to spend $500 to $1,000 a month.
Okay. So why would somebody use a paid service? Because there may be a reason why people may want to use a paid teleconference service over a free one. There are instances where they would. So let's talk about some of those as to why somebody may consider and why there are companies who are using, for example, Eagle Conferencing.
Okay. So my preferred paid service is called HiDefConferencing.com. HiDefConferencing.com. And the reason that I use this paid service is primarily I use this for my apprentices, for my paid coaching calls. I use the other one, the free one that I have, for my free teleconferences. Now, the reason for using it, there's a lot of reasons for using it. First off, they offer an inbound 800 number. So I can actually give people an 800 number to call into so they don't have any long-distance charges at all to use. They can call in either through a regular phone line or through Skype with no minutes at all for Skype. They have 12 different countries that there are call-in numbers from. So I have a student in Switzerland and one in Germany and one in the UK. And all of them can call in with local numbers. That's great. And they make it much easier for me to deal with my recordings. So with my recordings in a free conference call system, typically they're only going to host them for 30 to 60 days. With this one, they will host them forever. And instead of having to download them and upload them to my site, where I now have my bandwidth charged when people want a copy of the recording, I can send them to a link on HiDef Conferencing to get it, and I no longer have to worry about paying for bandwidth. They also make it easy because you can put descriptions of your recordings into the recording section so that you can figure out what those recordings are later. And then they give you advanced features. So you can do things like have people raise their hands on the line so you don't have to unmute all the callers. You can unmute people one at a time to be able to interact with them. You don't get that on a free teleconference line typically.
Right. It's typically not interactivity. And having used some of the free conference call services, which, again, are great, but afterwards, when I have done the downloading and upload, that can take, you know, half an hour to an hour of your time. So if you'd like it to be done instantly, yeah, having this automatically there for you, we can just send a link, is invaluable.
The other great thing that they do, and this is an important thing to think about, at the end of every teleconference, they send me a report. And that report shows me every single person, but it shows me their phone number. It shows me when they called in, when they hung up. And so if someone was on, like three or four times. They came on for a few minutes, then they left, and then they came back on, and then they left. It would show them on there three or four times, one for each one of their calls. Now, why is that a big deal? Well, if I'm doing coaching calls with paid students, now I've got a record that I can use to see who's really doing stuff, who's at least showing up for the calls. Even if they didn't say hello when they were on the call, I can see whether or not they were there. If I'm doing free teleconferences, this is even more important to have. One of the things that I did back when I did the 72 teleconferences in a month, we were selling tickets to my live event, and those tickets were $697 a piece. Well, I wanted as many ticket sales as I could. So what I did was I took these reports. I compared the phone numbers to the list of phone numbers from people who had bought tickets. And I assembled the remaining phone numbers into a file that I gave to a telemarketer for me. And that telemarketer would call people up and let them know that they just won something so that we would be able to offer them a discount on their ticket. We made 20% more sales by having those phone numbers that we could call. And we could base the conversation around them having just been on that teleconference the day before. So having that ability is huge.
Now, that's not something I've done before, so repeat that strategy. That's absolutely great. So you had a free teleconference where you came and you taught some stuff, and then you upsold to this event. Then you took those phone numbers of the people who were on this teleconference but did not buy, and you had somebody follow up, a telemarketer follow up with offering a free gift, which then you used as another chance, essentially, to sell tickets to your event.
Right. So what most of the calls looked like was this. Hey, you were on last night's teleconference. I'm just calling to let you know that you just won a free ticket to the event, and it's a free ticket for you when you bought one for a friend, or so you buy one, get one free, basically. And other calls, they kind of use it as a strategy session. They would start there, but then they'd, you know, modify the offer so that we could offer a payment plan for them if they couldn't pay it all at one time, or that kind of thing. These are now live calls. They're flexible. You can change the offer based on the need of the person on the call so that you can really get them to perceive it as being of higher value, even if you're not changing the price. And so by doing that, we only paid the person, the telemarketer, a percentage of their sales. They got 10% of any actual sales that they did. But our net effect was adding 20% more money to our bottom line.
Well, that's significant, and that's worth the effort, I'm thinking. So you get those reports. Now, another thing that with the free conferences, with the paid conference service in addition to this, is you can have a lot more people on there, which sometimes we need to do.
Right, so I can have up to 1,000 people on my paid line.
Well, see, that's a little more than 100. And if you're bringing a bunch of people and you look at your sales funnel and you know, okay, 10% is, you know, 10% is going to opt in, then maybe 10% of those are going to get the low-end item and 10% of those the higher-end item, it's worth your while to have more people on that initial conference call. So
absolutely. Just like that example I gave earlier with the 6,000 people who have already hit her opt-in page for her teleconference. So with that one, if she had 6,000 and had a free teleconference, 2,400 to 3,000 would have actually opted in. So teleconferences also build lists because of that. And it didn't take a lot of affiliates to make that happen. It took like 6 affiliates for her. And she would have had a list instantly of 3,000 people that she could use to launch her business. That's significant.
Okay. So we have some teleconference services. What about webinar services? What if somebody's looked at their flowchart and they've decided, okay, yes, people need to hear me speaking. I need them to interact, but I need to show them some stuff too. Maybe I want to show them what I'm doing on the internet. Maybe I want to show them some PowerPoint slides. Maybe I've created or I'm integrating some video into what I'm teaching. What kind of webinar services are available out there for people to use who want to put on their webinars?
So I have two different ones that I use. One is called Hot Conference, which is just hotconference.com. It is a less expensive solution. It's about $50 a month. And you can put, and I think it's an unlimited number of people into the webinar. But if you want to do desktop sharing, so you're not just sharing web pages, you're sharing a PowerPoint or something along those lines, you're limited to only 25 people in the room at one time. the way that this one works, if you have a webcam attached to your computer, people can actually see you at the same time that they're seeing what you're showing them on the screen. There is a text chat feature in there so people can type back and forth to one another. But it is just the video portion of the call. It is not necessarily, well, I guess it can have the audio portion. I take that back. But people can't call in from a phone line. They'd actually have to be at a computer to do it. So that's one possibility. It works great when I'm doing just a quick meeting with somebody and I just, hey, let's go pop into a room and take a look at our desktops together. It works great for that. I'm not exceptionally fond of it for webinars. I find it difficult to manage as you're trying to talk in a teleconference. Almost bad enough that you'd want to have someone else on the call with you to just handle the technical stuff for you. My favorite service is GoToMeeting or GoToWebinar. GoToMeeting and GoToWebinar are pretty close to being the same. They're owned by the same company, Citrix Online. GoToMeeting is simply a smaller version of GoToWebinar. GoToWebinar has some enhanced features that it has. Both offer a free 30-day trial, and when you come in, if you come in to GoToWebinar, you automatically also get GoToMeeting. If you come in just to GoToMeeting, then you get just GoToMeeting. It's a $20 difference in price per month. The GoToMeeting is $77, and the GoToWebinar with GoToMeeting is $97. The difference between them is huge because of the number of people you can put in a room. GoToMeeting has 25 people. GoToWebinar has 1,000 people. What I love about GoToWebinar is that it comes closest to imitating a live event out of any other webinar-based software I've ever used. Here's what it allows you to do. Let's say you've got a bridge line that you already use for teleconferences. You're using one of the free teleconference lines, and people know that phone number, and you just want to be able to show them something too. You can use GoToWebinar and have the audio portion of the call be with your existing teleconference line. You can also choose to use the GoToWebinar audio line instead. So it doesn't cost you any more to do that. What happens is when people go to get into the webinar, they type in a URL. It opens this little application up on the corner of their screen, and there's a little tab on there that says audio. They get to choose whether they want to call in with a telephone line or whether they want to use their microphone and speakers from their computer. They just check a little button. If they call in from a telephone line, what happens is they first dial the number, then they have a 5 or 6 digit code that they put in that's called the room number. That gets them into my call instead of yours. And then they have a 2 or 3 digit number that's called their PIN number that they just type into their phone and hit the pound sign. When they do that, the GoToWebinar software actually recognizes the audio as being from that one person. So as I go through the webinar, if I have people talking or asking questions, it actually shows you at the bottom of the screen who's doing the talking. So if I'm talking and you start asking me questions, the bottom would say Gina Gaudio Graves, and then it would switch to Jennifer Carter when you started talking. Because you can actually see who you're talking to in that way, you can actually do networking in these webinars that you can't do in a normal bridge line because you don't know who you're talking to. The other really big deal about using GoToWebinar, I often use it with my free teleconferences, even when I don't need to show them something, because of the pitch at the end. So what you do is in GoToWebinar, it shows you every single person and whether they are looking at their screen or not looking at their screen. and it gives you a little bar that has a red or green section to it. The red is showing you how many people are not looking at their screen. The green is showing you how many are looking at their screen. And it slides like a bar graph back and forth based on when people are looking or not looking. When you go to do your pitch, it's imperative that you really have your listener's attention. So if I start into a pitch and I look and see only 20% of the people are even looking at their screen, good chance that I don't really have their attention. They're multitasking. They might be on mute and talking to somebody else. They might be looking at another web page. If I don't have their attention, I don't care how great my pitch is, they're never going to do anything with it. So by seeing that, I have the ability to do things slightly differently. So I might pull up a web page at that point, break out of my presentation and go to a web page and say something like, now you see that right there? If you do this and you click this button, you're going to get these kinds of results. So I'm kind of vague, and they'll only understand it if they're looking at their screen. And you instantly see the whole red line disappear, and it goes straight over to green because they all just flip over to their screen. And the minute you do that, now you've got their attention. Now you can go into your pitch. By using that, I have increased sales on teleconferences more than 60%. So really powerful tool to have.
Keeping attention during hour-long, or especially if you're doing these weekend-long workshops, is really important. And I know that in using these tools with you, so I'm on some of your webinars and workshops, there's valuable stuff that I would never understand, things that you teach, without actually watching you do it on your desktop through this desktop sharing stuff that you do. So it provides a lot of value for the people who are learning from you. And as you said, get that attention back. You know, people lose their attention if you don't do something to command interactivity every few minutes. Then you're going to lose people, as you said. They'll zone out, and if they've got their phone in one ear and they're doing other stuff in the other, yeah, they're not paying attention. They might as well not be on the call. So,
and if you're creating products from your teleconferences, then GoToWebinar makes it so easy to do that. We've actually gone into GoToWebinar rooms where it's just me and my assistant, Shelby, just to do a recording because we need it for a product. Because it's easier to do your recording in GoToWebinar than it is to use Camtasia or any of the other tools that let you create videos. All you've got to do is open your software. You go in, you start your webinar, you start showing your screen, and hit the record button. And it does the whole video creation for you. And as soon as you end the webinar, it downloads it to your computer, and all you've got to do is upload it again to the server. And you've got a video-based product instantly.
And I'm glad you brought up Camtasia, because that's a great it's a great software that maybe a lot of the listeners are familiar with, which just it's a screen capture in video form. So if I'm going from
right.
site or whatever, but you're saying that it's a lot easier. You can do the same things that you can do in Camtasia, basically, using GoToWebinar, but it's all recorded automatically.
Exactly. And so you don't need $650 worth of software, which is how much Camtasia costs you right now. You can simply go and use GoToWebinar instead and still create the same kind of product. Something that happened interesting, and it was kind of by accident recently, I was teaching at a workshop offline a few weeks ago. If you remember, I was in Daytona Beach doing that.
Right.
And I wanted to have a way during that one-week workshop to be able to take the participants in the room and show their screens on the big screen at the front of the room. I wanted to do that so we could really make it more of a workshop or a boot camp as opposed to a seminar where we were talking at them. So even though we were all in the same room, there were like 15 of us, I decided I was going to open up a webinar. And by opening up the webinar, I'd be able to give controls to the other participants when I wanted to show their screens in the front of the room. Well, I wasn't really thinking when I set it up. So I set it up, and I used the GoToWebinar audio system, and I logged in, and I just left the default checked, which was use your computer's microphone and speakers, and then I started teaching. And as I'm passing the controls around and I'm going from one student to the next and I'm showing their computer screens up in the front of the room, my assistant was sitting back in Tennessee, and she was also logged into the webinar for me because she was recording every minute of it. Well, come to realize in the second day, she asks me a question, and the question had to do with the content of the call from the day before. And I'm like, how do you know to ask that question? She says, well, I'm sitting back here watching the entire webinar, and she can hear everything going on in the room in Daytona Beach because we're all logged into this conference call system with GoToWebinar. Now, had I realized that beforehand, what I would have absolutely done is it costs $5,000 to go to this workshop. And by being there, you could interact with me, you could get personal help, we'd show your computer up on the screen. But what I would have absolutely done is, for maybe $1,000 or $2,000, I would have sold seats for the streaming portion of the call. And you wouldn't have been able to interact, I wouldn't have unmuted the lines and taken their questions, but they would have been able to get all of this great information from home while we were all live together. How much more money could I have added in revenues because of the ability to do that? And I really hadn't thought about that in advance. It was just something that happened by accident. But wow, what a huge accident to have happen.
So we learn new things every day. So what you're saying is with this, and I didn't know you could do that too, you had just have the microphone, et cetera, open. They were hearing not only what you were purposely recording into the webinar, but they were hearing the questions and answers from the participants. Is that what you're saying?
The entire room, anybody that was logged into the webinar.
Okay, excellent.
And seeing all of their screens at the same time, anytime I would give them control. And with the software, you can draw on the screen, you can write on the screen, you can pass the controls around from one participant to the next and have them do different things. At one point that week, we had some technical issues come up with someone's blog, and I really wasn't equipped to handle them. So I called Jason, my VP of operations, and said, Jason, I need your help. Can you come into a webinar and I'll show you something and tell me what I need to do to fix it? So he comes into the webinar. Now I've got Jason in Ohio. I've got Shelby in Tennessee. I've got these 15 people in Daytona Beach with me. We pull up one of the participants' websites into the webinar that we're showing it up on the big screen too. I put my computer on sound with the microphone for the live room next to it so everybody can hear Jason. And I give Jason control for one of the students' computers. So that student's who I'm showing in the webinar, and I pass the keyboard and mouse to Jason. Jason goes into that student's computer and operates it from Ohio with everybody in the webinar and in the room being able to hear what he's saying live. Now, if that's not cool, I don't know what is.
Talk about having outsourcing, bringing it into your office. That's amazing. I didn't realize. So he was actually able to go make those changes for that student from wherever he was at in Ohio to the student who was sitting with you there in Florida.
Absolutely. It would work even if you had somebody in India that you wanted to do this with. How many more people can you serve and help when you have the ability to do that?
God bless the internet. That's all I have to say.
Right, and that's kind of my point. So in planning a teleconference or a webinar, you want to plan out how you're going to serve your audience. And even when you're talking about webinars, to the point where could you go and help them do something on their computer by having the control of their computer?
Okay, and you did all of this through GoToWebinar.
Yes, and I have tried a number of other pieces of software for webinars. Like I said, I also use Hot Conference. I've probably tried 8 to 10 other webinar-type products. None of them really do the same thing for me. There is a service called Instant Teleseminar that's extremely popular. It doesn't do webinars, but it does do teleseminars. And it's really well known. It does a good job. It's not cheap. It's probably $100 to $200 a month. Instant Teleseminar makes it super easy for the audio portion of the call. You set up your call in Instant Teleseminar. It gives you a page that you send your traffic to. On that page, they register for the call. When they go to get into the call, they come back to that same page. They can either click a button and come in through their computer, or they can get the call-in information right there on that page. There's a little box that they can type their questions into right on that page. And immediately after the call, it changes it from being a call that they can participate in to publishing the download link right on that same page. So you have only one page, and it does it all for you hands off. What I don't like about it is you can only have 100 people call in from a telephone line, and everybody else has to go in through the computer. And that can be an issue. Like my audience, they wouldn't know how to do that. And I tried the Instant Teleseminar product for a couple of months, tried to make people go into it, and it just didn't work. They really wanted the ability to call in on a phone line because they might be in their car, they might be in their office, and having them forced into going to a web page to click a button to get into the audio portion just didn't work. So you really need to think about those kinds of things and who your audience is and where they're located and how they'll want to connect with you. Do they want audio? Do they want video? Do they want to call in on a phone line? Do they want to come in on a computer? So that you can plan out the best outcome for your teleconference. I want to talk a little bit about the content of a teleconference, Jennifer, because this is like the important relationship marketing piece, right?
Right, right, absolutely. And as we move into that, Gina, where can people get, since GoToWebinar seems to be the best, if people need webinar at all, the best service to use, where would you recommend them going to get that from?
www.gotowebinar.com.
Fantastic. Quick and
easy. They don't have an affiliate program, so gotowebinar.com.
Okay, and they have a 30-day free trial, so you can try it out today if you want it.
Exactly. And about 2 weeks ago, the high-def conferencing line that I was telling you about earlier was just bought out by the Citrix folks that own GoToWebinar and GoToMeeting. So I expect that in the next couple of weeks, we'll probably start seeing package deals that get you GoToWebinar, GoToMeeting, and high-def conferencing all rolled up into one package. Hasn't come out yet. But even the control panel for high-def conferencing has now changed because of the relationship with GoToWebinar. And I bet the two interfaces will look identical here in their next revision.
Interesting. We'll have to see how that plays out. It's funny that the technology keeps changing and the services keep expanding. And for those of us who are users of this change of technology, it's fantastic because it gets better and less expensive, but more importantly, helps us to produce better and better results for our clients and customers.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little about the content of a teleconference or a webinar. What do you know about content for a teleconference or webinar, Jennifer?
Well, I'll tell you this. I know, both from experience and from clients who've done this, that when you're going to put on a good teleconference or webinar, you can't wing it. You can't just say, hey, I know I'm going to talk about this subject that I'm pretty familiar with, and so everybody come and show up, and I hope it works out in 60 minutes or whatever it is. I know that just like with your overall strategy, you've got to have a flow. You've got to have a logical flow of your teleconference, and that you need to know from the beginning what is your goal, what is your purpose for it, both for yourself, i.e., I am going to offer tickets to this live event, I'm going to offer coaching, and what is your goal for your customers and your clients? You need to know that for both of those things so that you can plan backwards and create good content during the call, as well as you have to know that so you know how to best promote the call itself. So let's talk
Absolutely.
About that. How does so, good content. Starting with your goal, your end goal in mind, where do we go from there, Dina?
So you really want to have your teleconference based around a problem that your audience knows that they have, so that by the time you get to the end of the teleconference, you're giving them the solution. But using a teleconference is much like writing a blog post. There are specific pieces that you want to get into that teleconference, and they're pretty close to the same pieces that you want to get into your blog post. So you want to start your teleconference with the introduction of the guest or the speaker. So that might be you, that might be someone you're interviewing, but the introduction of that person whose products you're selling at the end. And that introduction should be there to really boost the credibility of that person in the listener's eyes. And once you've got that introduction done, I like to start teleconferences with a story, same way I would start a blog post. That story should really set the stage for the problem that people will be able to solve from this teleconference. The more specific that problem is, the better the results from the teleconference. The better job you do of creating a story that people can really identify with, that allows them to take ownership of the problem, the better the results are going to be from the teleconference. And at the end of that story, I then ask a question that's the statement of that problem. So how do you get rid of blah, blah, blah? And then I go into the steps of the solution. The teleconferences that work the best have a step-by-step process that people can follow. So step one, step two, step three, step four, and so on. At the end of the steps, you can go on to explain that solution that you've just given them and use that to lead in through a call to action to the resource you're going to give them, which is kind of your pitch. I find that the pitches that work the best are the pitches that are really short and sweet, that are really a pitch based around getting better results, not getting results at all. So one of my best calls ever was a call that was titled, How to Get 1,000 to 5,000 Unique Visitors to Your Website in Under, How to Get 1,000 to 5,000 Unique Visitors Every Day to Your Website in Under 90 Days, .. free. And it was a call about blogging. So notice a couple of things about that title for the teleconference. Number one, there was a very, very specific result, 1,000 to 5,000 unique visitors a day. It wasn't just how to drive more traffic to your website. The how to drive 1,000 to 5,000 unique visitors every day to your website was part of what made this call work so well. It was a very specific number of visitors in a very specific amount of time. And once we got into the call, we were able to use a story that explains how hard it is to drive traffic. Talked about somebody who's been out there trying to do this forever, who's tried all the free stuff and ends up with only 10 visitors a day. Who's tried all the paid stuff and got double that, but ended up spending $500 a day in the process. And then say, so how do you get 1,000 to 5,000 unique visitors a day to your website? Well, step one, you're going to need a WordPress blog, and here's what you want to do that. Step two, okay, so you followed through with a step-by-step process. In this example, it was all about using a blog. And the steps in the process had to do with putting up your blog, writing your blog post, pinging the search engines, and then doing some social bookmarking to be able to drive traffic. It was only a one-hour call, so obviously that's a very high-level conversation at that point, simply because there's not enough time in an hour to go into it in detail. It's probably more like a three-hour call to do the thorough job of it. So at the end of the call, when you get ready to do your resource or your call to action, it becomes so. If you're confused right now, no need to be. We've got the whole thing listed out in checklists in a step-by-step format with screenshots and detailed instructions on exactly where to go and exactly what to click. It's all summarized in 21 Days to Blogging Profits. You can download your copy right now at www.bloggingarsenal.com. And just because you're such great listeners and I really want to give you a bonus for having been here and stuck with us, I'm going to do this and then whatever you're going to do for them. Maybe you give them a discount. Maybe you throw in a something else to really get them to act, whatever the case might be. But you want to have that outline at least for how you're going to introduce your guest, what the story is going to entail, at least a bulleted list of the steps in that solution, and then a something that is that call to action that leads them into where you want them to go. Interesting thing that happens with teleconferences. People are so busy taking notes when you're doing a teleconference that follows this format that they don't always hear you the first time you say something. So you actually want to repeat all the key points more than once. And what I mean by that is literally say the same exact sentence twice. If you've ever listened to a Talman Knutson teleconference, Talman constantly says every single sentence twice. So when Talman plans out his teleconferences, he can only plan 35 minutes worth of content because he is going to say everything twice for emphasis. And so about 30 minutes of it is going to be repeated. So if he has more than a 35-minute call, he's in big trouble. He's going way past his one-hour teleconference. When you really start repeating like that, people will start being able to hear it much better. And what's really funny about it is because of the power that comes from that repetition, they really start seeing the abundance of information that you gave them only when you're doing the repetition. If you took the same exact content and went through it just one time with no repetition, they would not see that as being abundant. They would only see the scarcity or the lack in the content. It's only when you're repeating it that they will actually see it. Right. Now, when you're first doing teleconferences like this, it's going to feel really foreign to you to be repeating things in this way. More often than not, you're going to have a tendency to say, now let me just repeat that. You don't want to say, let me just repeat that very much. Just go and repeat it twice. So just go and repeat it twice, kind of like that. I don't repeat nearly enough when I'm doing calls. I should be repeating a lot more. And the reason that I don't repeat often enough is because I've got so much content I'm trying to cram in that if I did repeat it more, I'd be there twice as long. And that's an issue. I'm already there for a long period of time. But plan your teleconferences that way. If you are someone that you know is going to be long-winded like I know I am going to be, I would never do a one-hour teleconference. I would plan 90-minute teleconferences at a minimum. Try to keep your teleconferences to under 2 hours because at the end of 2 hours, people are so exhausted their brains can't hold anymore. Really interesting story about teleconferences. I did a series of teleconferences over a two-week period. We did 15 calls, three different topics, five calls on each topic. We worked from a script. Every single word on the call was identical. We, however, changed the title of the call five separate times. So we would do five different calls on blogging, we would do 5 different calls on list building. We would do 5 different calls on affiliate marketing. And the title of each call was different, but the script was identical. The same story, the same steps, the same explanation, the same call to action, and the same pitch. Identical. We were selling a program that was a coaching program that was $297. We had as many as 10 people buy as many as 4 times from 15 teleconferences because they didn't even perceive it as being the same call.
Really, the same coaching product.
Same exact thing.
That is so interesting, just by changing the title of the call.
Absolutely. And what really made the difference was this repetition. Because each call said almost every sentence twice, at least the key sentence in each paragraph was said twice, they really picked up different pieces each time they were on the call. And so they went and bought over and over again.
That's interesting. But you bring up a really important point. It's just like a good book that we read again and again. You don't get everything the first time through. And as you're saying, whether on a teleconference call or a live event or anything, you do need to repeat what you're saying. And you said repeat the words exactly. Sometimes for me, I will like to repeat a concept in a different way, especially if we're, I don't know, if we're asking them to do something. But
yeah, no, I mean exactly. Repeat them exactly the same way.
Something else that I want to emphasize that you talked about earlier is when you're getting started with the calls, opening with a story and opening with, whether it's in the title or as you open it itself, specific results. Because not doing so is a huge mistake that I've seen some people do. For example, let's say I had a client who was an expert in NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, and he promoted this teleseminar that he did, but he did not have specific, he knew how great NLP was, he knew the benefits and results that people could get from it, but he forgot how much most of the rest of the world doesn't really know that much about NLP, what the results are going to get from it, etc. And so he promoted the teleconference, people came on, but they didn't know where he was going with it. They didn't know what results they were going to get. And so his results weren't that good initially.
Mm-hmm.
So we changed it so that, number one, both in his promotions as well as when he opened the call, he said, what we're going to talk about today is X aspect of NLP, and the reason this is so important is because when you do this, your relationships are going to get better in this way, or your whatever results are going to get better in that way. And then he gave a story to make the point. Sometimes, as you said earlier, people do not know your topic as well as you know your topic. So you've got to make that.
That's why they're on the teleconference.
Exactly. And sometimes they don't know that they have this problem, but they don't know these other problems that are connected to it. And when you tell a story that illustrates, for example, you gave people having a website, not getting people coming to there, not getting enough visitors, they've tried this, this, and this. Then you've drawn people in because some of your listeners have also said, oh, yeah, I've tried, pay-per-clicks. I've tried, banners, this, that, and it didn't work for me either. I forgot that I tried those things and that they don't work. Sounds like Gina has another solution. I'm going to perk up my ears and listen because I want 1,000 to 5,000 visitors per day instead of the, 3 to 5 I've been getting. People will perk up much better. So starting with the story, emphasizing the specific results people are going to get by the end of the call is a really, really important part of it. Huge difference.
I would agree for sure.
So, going back to our flow, we've got a great title, and as we've seen, you can test titles, you can play with titles. That's a shocker to me. I think it's the first time I've heard that you tell that story where you did the same teleconference call, changing only the title, and people got something different out of it each time. That's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. And I was blown away by it. I really did not expect that to happen. We had more than 25 people that bought more than one time, but 10 of them bought 4 separate times.
That's just crazy, which shows you also that really emphasizes the power of a title itself, how
mm-hmm.
it can make or break a teleseminar. let me ask you this. Of those different titles, did you notice a difference in listenership between one title of the same conference call versus another?
Absolutely. Those that were more specific in terms of the quantity and the time for the results got the highest listenership. Those that were more vague or that only had a quantity or only had a time had much smaller numbers of listeners.
So in our titles, we need to put specific quantity and quality of results as well as the time when we can start expecting results of whatever it is that we're teaching.
Right. So even if you're not talking about something that's in a building or business, let's say you're talking about a self-improvement kind of thing, you want your title to be really based upon the outcome for your listener. So let's say you're talking about stress management. You could say your title would be something like, how to save yourself 2.5, 6 days in the next 6 months by managing your stress better. So you've got a quantity and you've got a time period. And it will make it much easier when you get to your pitch to equate what you're talking about to dollars, because it's the 2.5 days per whatever time period.
Exactly. And that's an important thing to also be able to do when you're talking about the benefits of whatever, even when, as you said, even when it's not a business-based a topic, if it's personal development or something else, to be able to somehow quantify results into dollars as well as the other intangible results is really important. And you really can do that with just about anything.
You really can. So if you're in a green market and you're talking about green energy, for example, well, how much is it going to save you, or how much is it going to do good to the environment? But a specific quantified number. Save $10,000 on your electric bill in the next 3 years or something like that. And the more specific you can be in the title, the bigger your numbers are going to be, both in terms of listenership as well as in sales.
Absolutely. How to find love and true love in 60 days and stop wasting your money on XYZ. How
to
have more self-confidence and make more sales or get a promotion in your job. How to, I mean, just about any topic you can quantify to dollars.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, another thing I want to emphasize that you talked about in your flow of a teleconference call is you said you were talking about step-by-step solutions of that problem, which those step-by-step solutions were absolutely related to the answer that you provided, the solution that you provided at the end of the
call. They have to be.
Absolutely. You've got to be planting seeds of what people need in order to solve this problem early on. And during the call, you're giving them a start of how to do it, you know, for free, whatever that is. But by the end, when they know your step-by-step solution is going to make it quicker, easier, faster results, they already know, oh, I need this. Now this solution is going to help me do it better.
Exactly.
So, okay, we've talked about having a great title. We've talked about having, we already know our end goal, both for our audience as well as us. We have a great story that sets the stage for that problem that we're going to be addressing. And then we ask a question that says, okay, so how do you solve this problem? We go to our step-by-step solution, and let's talk about closing out a good teleconference. How do you close that with the results to offer your product or service that you want to offer to your...
So remember that your entire business, the way that I teach it, is all based around serving instead of around selling. So when you get down to that point where you're going to do your pitch, you've got to stay congruent to that. You've got to be doing a pitch that is serving your audience instead of selling your audience. It's not going to work with this model if you don't. So how do you serve while you're at the same time selling? So one example was what I talked about earlier with the pitch for the get 1,000 to 5,000 unique visitors per day to your website. that pitch looked like, okay, if you want to make it as easy as possible for you to be able to implement this step-by-step solution, if you want to get screenshots and you want to get checklists and the whole nine yards, download this product now. You could also do it where you said, okay, you just learned how to get 1,000 unique visitors a day to your website. How would you like to get 5,000 unique visitors a day to your website? Well, all it takes is downloading blah, blah, blah now, so that you've shown them how to get one result, and now you're going to give them a resource that helps them get better results. Or you could say, okay, how do you get 1,000 to 5,000 unique visitors a day in 90 days? And the pitch becomes, and now that you know how to get 1,000 to 5,000 unique visitors a day in 90 days, how would you like to get them in 30 instead? So if you're really laying out a step-by-step format within the body of a teleconference, it kind of dictates your pitch for you. You want to help them make money, help them save money, help them save time, help them get bigger results, better results, or faster results. And your pitch is about that. You want to make sure that in your pitch, you are sending them to a specific web page. Really serve them. They've just shared an hour of their time with you. Really serve them and reward them for having done that. So give them something that you would not ordinarily offer from your website. I regularly have an internal page that I'm sending the people on the teleconferences to instead of just sending them to the main page of the website so that they can get that bonus somewhere. I make sure that on the index page of the website, it clearly shows that either the price is higher or that the bonus isn't part of it, so that when they look at it on this other page, they can clearly see that extra benefit that they're getting from having been a part of the teleconference. I try on my page that I'm sending them to not make it a full-blown sales letter. When I make it a full-blown sales letter, it's too long, and they won't take the time during the teleconference to read it. So that page you're sending them to needs to be a headline, a very strong benefit-oriented headline. It could even be the same headline you used for the teleconference. It needs to be some bullet points, maybe a guarantee if you have one, maybe some really strong testimonials if you've got them, and then a call to action with an order button.
Pretty simple, straight to the point, based on what you've already been talking about.
Exactly. Now, something else that works really well on your teleconferences is to have live testimonial. So what you can do is, if you've got people that have already gotten really good results, you can bring a couple of them onto the call live so that they can be asked when you get to the pitch. So why don't you tell us, what was your experience using this step-by-step system? How many results did you get? Or how fast did you get your results? So you've got to use those testimonials to bolster the credibility of that step-by-step process you just shared with them.
And that is extremely powerful. I'm glad you brought up that example, because you and I can tell people all day long how great our product or service or whatever is, but when we have somebody else that people are relating to, a quote-unquote everyday normal person, saying, hey, I started from this position, having this problem, having this challenge, I took Jennifer's product, I went through the process, and then I got these results, then people know that real people are getting real results from it, and that's 10 times more powerful than you or I saying, this is a great product.
It really is. So we share a lot of the stuff through the 30-Day IM Challenge at www.30dayimchallenge.com. That's 30dayimchallenge.com. Next week, we're going to be launching the Bachelor's Program at the IM University. And the bachelor's program has an entire module on using teleconferences both for sales and driving traffic and building a list for creating products, all of it. It's an incredible module in the program. So I invite all of you to join us at 30dayiamchallenge.com so that you can learn more about the bachelor's program when it comes out next week. So Jennifer, thanks so much for being here. We got some great guests for everybody coming up, don't we?
We have a lot of fun people, and we'll put those on the site. This was a great call. I have teleconferences scheduled this week, so thank you. Go out and make some teleconferences.
Awesome. We'll see you all next week. Can't wait. Take care, everybody.
Bye.